want to talk about serving God's vision. What does that look like in our lives? How do we execute vision that was A, given to us by God, or B, given to us by someone else? I want to start off by saying this, right? God has a vision and he has a call on your life, on each and every one of you. And it is up to us to search deep within ourselves to find out what that is. And if you're wondering, like, oh, what is my calling? What vision am I given? Oftentimes we don't really start with anything right off the bat. We start out with the hunger and the desire to be with God. Because, you know, if you look at the timeline of your personal life, it all started with an encounter. You see, God came close to you in a moment and you became forever changed, right? Like, let me give you an example, right? You see the lack in your life and the need you have for Jesus, and you come to, let's say, an encounter, right? And God wrecks you and you're like, what do I do? What do I do? Oftentimes, what I've seen work play out is people serve. They come to this house because of an amazing encounter, and then they decide, man, you know what? I want to pour myself into this house. And we serve, and when you serve this house, you serve a vision, right? You're not just serving a church. You're not just serving a senior pastor. You're serving God's vision for this house. Before anything, when you follow somebody who's going somewhere, yes, you're following that person, but deep down, you're following the call of God in their life that God gave them, the instructions to carry it out, and you're just along for the ride. And oftentimes, before we're given anything for ourselves to pursue, we chase after somebody else's vision. Like, for example, you work in construction, right? You're just laying tile. And you have a boss, and the boss, he's commissioned by, let's say, the homeowner. It's like, I want to build a house. And then the contractor is like, okay, let me get all these guys. Here, you do tile. If you do the tile, like really do it, like with all your heart and all your soul, and you put your everything into it, you get something, right? First of all, you know, you get money. And second of all, you build something for yourself. You look at that, and you're like, I did that. I'm proud of that. That was my work, and I'm proud of it. And then as a result, you start to gain wisdom on how to do it effectively and how to do it efficiently, to the point where you're given something for yourself to do it in your own imagination, under your own will, under your own like flavor. So you're not like following this person forever, but no, when you serve this person and you not only you make money, but you help them make money, they upgrade, and then so do you, right? Like a realistic example, serving Yilisei and the youth ministry back in the day. Like a lot of us who are here in this day who kind of identify that season and that we're in that season, that as an individual, for me personally, seeking God through serving the vision of the youth gave me something for myself. Like it wasn't, I didn't know where I was going with this, but I knew this gave me something to pursue God in. And then I wouldn't be here today if that wasn't done. If I didn't do any of that, if I didn't seek God in serving his house and serving his people, I wouldn't be here today. And I wouldn't have gone to ministry school. I wouldn't have gotten the support and the backing to do that and learn pretty much a lot of what I know. And then coming out of school, I began to serve someone else's vision again, right? Lisa, I don't know if she's here. No, she's not here. Listen, I would not be here today if it wasn't for her. I came out of ministry school thinking, okay, yeah, I'm going to serve. I'm going to go back and serve Yilisei. I'm going to do youth. I'm going to do this. And my assignment was a little bit different because where I thought I was going to be serving youth, no, I began to be shown the teens ministry. where it was at the time when Lisa started it, because that's essentially what she did. She started from nothing, right? And to serve her vision was to go low. Like oftentimes when we serve other people's vision, how we do it effectively is you go low when you serve somebody. Like she knew the implications of what I could do with what she started. And I could have easily taken the keys and ran with it. But what God was showing me and what I've learned so many years ago is you go low. You always have to go low. You can't just take things. No, you have to be given the authority to carry out God's vision. Otherwise, it's not his. It's just yours. Patience and trust go a long way when it comes to executing the vision that God has given you. Because oftentimes you're going to see the easy way out. You're going to see the easy path, the wide path, you know. But there is a narrow path that is very easily dismissed and easily forgotten about that actually takes us on the long route. So we're not serving people. We're serving Jesus, first of all. We're serving Jesus's vision. We're serving the Father's house more than anything. We can get really caught up in very flamboyant ministries, very flashy, very hype things going on, and we attach ourselves to these things, and we realize that they're not really for us. And oftentimes, we learn that the hard way, because we find out that we're obsessed with this person in front of us, but we're not fully surrendered to Jesus and what he wants, because we... you got to understand, like John the Baptist said, where he increases, I must decrease. You see, where there is required, where in your life, when you step into greater things in God, you're going to have to decrease. Less of you, more of him. Serving other people's visions, serving the vision of your leaders, opens the door for that. Less of him, more of him, less of you. When you serve someone else's vision, God will give you your own. God will always give you something. However, I like to think of this as like a test. God wants to see how you handle someone else's lifeline, their timeline, their vision. How do you handle someone else's? And that will really show him and those around you how you will handle your own. You see, like, are you gonna step in and serve and just like be the boss and be very like in each other, in everyone's faces and pretend like you're running the show, but in reality you're not? Or are you going to submit? Are you going to be a doormat for your leader? Because this is the motto of my third year in my internship. I told God, like, I don't care who I'm gonna serve. I don't care what I'm gonna do. I wanna be a doormat so that way I can get closer to you, because Jesus modeled leadership perfectly in the essence of you serve. And when you really, really serve, people will walk all over you. People will say things about you that probably you wouldn't want to hear, but you hear anyways. Jesus went through all of that, and he came out on top, and whose name we still sing about to this day, that carries tremendous power. I follow that example. I follow Jesus' example of leadership. Low. Come in low. Always. You see, like, foot washing was symbolic because it was the lowest position you could possibly receive or take in the ancient biblical times, because there was sand. Sand was everywhere. And hospitality was a big thing in Jewish culture. Like, you always kept the place clean. You, like, shoes off the house, you know, shoes off when you get in the house. I wonder where we got that from, you know. But your feet were still dirty because you had sandals and someone had to wash your feet. And Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And to the point where Peter was offended. He was offended because Jesus wanted to put himself so low. And we miss that. I feel like we really miss that in leadership to this day. We miss that. Leading isn't about being on top. It's about being at the bottom and looking up at your people and celebrating and empowering people and thinking of others beyond yourself, putting others' needs above your own. Jesus modeled it perfectly. When you honor and serve another person's vision, it opens the door for you to receive your own. You see, I wouldn't be here in this season receiving such an enormous privilege to lead the youth of this house if it weren't for me starting from scratch. You know, I don't like to think that I was chosen because I'm his favorite. I mean, maybe because I am, you know, favor isn't fair, as they say. But I knew, and I wasn't given the easy way out in a lot of cases, especially even having my parents as not only as my parents, but also my pastors, right? It was still really hard, you know? Like, I would essentially cry to my parents about this person who hurt my feelings. And they're celebrating this person that hurt my feelings because blessed is he who, you know, gets mocked and abused because he's just gonna be better, you know? It's like, I didn't see it that way. Like, man, I just like, Dad, I just want you to be on my side. And he's like, Like, you got to pray for this person. It's really easy to get caught up in favoritism I have to be everyone's favorite in order to be, in a position. No, you just have to be seen by God. That's literally it. It's all about him. Like David, he wasn't seen by everybody. He was seen by nobody, not even his own dad. And then God plucked him out of the field to be king. So I want to move on to the how, okay? So I went through the what. Serving, what is that? Serve other people's vision. Serve. It is the most beautiful entry, doorway to receiving something from the Lord himself. And it's not easy. It's not going to be easy because you're going to see a lot of opportunities pass by that you felt like were for you, but given to somebody else. This happens a lot, especially for those of us in ministry or working in a church organization. You're going to see people, and even in secular organizations, like work, you know, like you're dreaming of a promotion that gives you good bonuses, benefits, but then someone else gets it. Are you going to be bitter and resent this person and resent the organization? Or are you going to give thanks to God that maybe this didn't work out for you because it wasn't meant to be and God has something greater and you rejoice and you celebrate in the Lord and his goodness that he saved you from that? When I was working at Amazon, they had a part-time dispatch position. When you work at Amazon, the ceiling is very low. Like, you're either a driver or you're an owner, or you're a driver or you're a dispatch or you're owner-operator. And when you're owner-operator, that is like 20 years of doing boxes, right? Which is good luck. But they wanted to put me as a part-time dispatcher where you start to kind of go up there. And I said no because I have to work Sundays and, you know, Mama raised a church boy, so I got place to be on Sunday. And they knew that. It was so funny. On my last day, they asked if I had anything to say to the whole team, and I just preached the gospel to them. It was so funny. It's like, they're like, of course. Like, they knew it. They're like, of course Daniel would do that. But yeah, no, they offered me a dispatch position. I said no. And then later on, I hear my boss is like, dude, dude, you're so lucky you didn't get that dispatch position. Dude, you would have hated it. My own boss. Imagine your own boss like being like, dude, you're so lucky you didn't get that position. I'm like, what? I don't even know where I was going on with that. But yeah, that was just a funny story. But the how. So if you want to know how do you serve someone else's vision, I have three keys for you to open the doorway. Not as a transaction, right? I don't want people serving just so they can get something out of it. Remember, when you're serving, you're not serving a person. You're serving Jesus. It's that simple. And I would say, most importantly, for men, over here, boys, we got a lot of stuff to do, man. We got a lot of shoes to fill. You know what I'm saying? Like, for men, it is crucial. I remember when I first started my journey of serving this house, it started off with cameras. And it is a great tool to learn responsibility, learn excellence, to learn and figure out, just dedication and like seeing what you actually like. I would strongly encourage if you're a man and you don't do nothing, dude, do something. You greet, usher, whatever, do cameras. Because if you don't, listen, it's going to be really hard for you to connect with people in this house. And it's going to be really hard for you to get anything essentially from here. Because if you don't do anything, if you're especially a young man, like, why are you even here? You know, it's like, maybe you get a wife, I don't know, maybe get married, you know. Like, serve Jesus. We're here for him. Yeah, like, church is an excellent place. And this isn't me, like, saying you have to. No, you get to. This is a place where you get to serve God's house and his place and his house. Like, it makes it so much clearer why Jesus loved the church so much that he died for the church. It says in scripture, like, a husband must love his wife as Christ loved the church. Right? How much did Christ love the church? He died for the church. And this is where it's at. It's community. It's discipleship. It's him all over, plastered all over the walls. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss the chance. Because if you don't, then you're just going to be floating. And no one wants to float. No one likes a happy, no, there is no such thing as a happy backslider. Like, don't. So first key, when you serve someone's vision, right? When, let's say, you got a youth pastor. First of all, I need a lot of volunteers for our youth ministry. You got a youth pastor, right? And you want to serve, and he gives you something to do. First of all, there are two types of people in this world. There are owners, and there are renters. Everyone say owner. Everyone say renter. Which one sounds better? Owner, right? The right answer is owner. You want to own your assignment that you're given. You want to take it and make it your own. Even though you know it's somebody else's, you know someone else is in charge, someone has the final say, whatever you're given, you take this little thing and you just like, oh, I give glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You've given me just a little drop from heaven for me to love you through this. And then you'll notice that thing get bigger and bigger and bigger. Excellence, ownership. See, renters, they don't buy into their assignment. They think short term. Oh, it's somebody else's problem, right? Like when someone rents a house, if you're, I don't know if there's landlords here and you got bad tenants, they just like, I don't know, clog pipes and leave the light on and do all this stuff. It's just horrible, nightmare. It can get really bad. And then you got squatters. That's way worse. Find ownership in your assignment. You want to also believe in the assignment that you're given. Like, don't just do it just to do it, or do it just to please your leader, or please the people around you, or do it in a selfish way to where only you benefit. No, if you benefit in the role and assignment that you're given through this person, they also benefit, and then so does God benefit. Because again, we're not serving his or her vision. We're serving God's vision overall through all of eternity through, and it outlasts and outlives all of us. Second one, dream within the boundaries of your assignment. See, you're told by your boss to do tile. Why the heck are you doing being an electrician? Why are you touching the wires in the house? Why are you installing the floors? Why are you painting the walls? No, you're supposed to install a shower, tile. That's all you gotta do. Because when you go into things that you're not asked to do, that opens the door for you to feel undervalued and feel unheard, because you know no one's asking you to do all this extra work or do something completely different, but you do it anyways, and you blame the people who don't recognize it because, well, I did it and someone has to see it. No, you weren't asked to do it in the first place. Buddy, chill, relax. Like, this is for me a lot. There's like many categories of like types of leaders. For me growing up, I was the do it all type of leader. Like when it came to youth camps, like I tried doing everything by myself. I tried doing the flags, the you know, signs, the posters. I tried doing everything, and I just like was like stretched so thin because I did not understand how to delegate. See, delegating is the chef's kiss when in upgrading and being elevated in leadership, and it becomes easier because you just point, and things get done, and it's easy. Life is good, you know, but it takes time to get there, you know, and it's okay. So when you dream, when you do your assignment and only that, you're being authentic, right? And your true anointing, it flows from authenticity. You see, when we tap into our true selves and not trying to be somebody else or follow someone else's ministry, we're just being ourselves and true to the word God spoke in us, we are the most powerful people we can be, because we're not copying anybody. We're not mimicking anybody. We are being truly the children that God made us to be. 100%. Not a drop of anything else. We are 100% pure in his eyes because we are us and nobody else. Just because you feel like doing something that you're not supposed to doesn't mean you should. It's that easy. So stay within the boundaries of your assignment. Like when you're asked to do something by your senior pastor, by any form of leadership, like it's important to just stick to what you already know and what you've been asked to do. That way the expectation becomes very simple and plain. Number three, submission before the commission. Can I get an amen? This is very important because in every stage of your life, you will always be in a position to submit and to surrender. See, if you think you are able to graduate from this position, you're wrong. You will always be in a position in every season of your life of submission to God, to your leaders, to your parents, maybe to your husband or wife. Who knows? I don't really know. I haven't been there yet. No one graduates submission. Nobody. You don't just arrive at this destination and just be like, oh, I know everything. I'm good. You know, my belly's full. I'll just sit here until I die. And life is good. Turn off some TV. You see, there are two things. Right? There's our calling, there's our assignment, right? These are two different things. Two different things. Your calling is your future. Your assignment is now. See, that's what I'm really talking to you about today is what is your now? Like, what is the vision in your life that God gave you that is your assignment for you to do right now? Like, yes, you have a calling. Yes, you have the calling to go preach into the nations and speak to billionaires or speak to homeless people and go to really dark places. But what are you supposed to do right now? See, When we serve someone's vision, it opens the door for that revelation in our lives for us to actually pursue our calling in its entirety. Because I was told all my life, youth. But it didn't take, it took years, a decade for me to get to youth. I thought youth, like 3 years ago until it was teens. And I was like, oh crap, man. It's not the most fun. It's not the most exciting because it was just a little room with like five teenagers that probably didn't even want to be there. But God was like, you know what? I'm going to put you here instead of over there where all everyone's doing all the fun stuff and all these events and everything. And I'm like, I understood my call and you have to be obedient. Like you have to be obedient to the assignment. That is why you dream within the boundaries of your assignment. You take ownership and you submit. And it makes it so much easier. And trust me, like for me, those 10 years, like that. Like, I don't know how, but it flew by. But I wasn't focused on the finish line the entire time. Like, I knew God was faithful, and He always is, and that He would carry me through my calling, but I wasn't always focused on youth pastor. Because if you are always focused on the finish line, you miss out on everything you have right now. You see, right now is so important, guys. It is so important because it opens you up and it changes you and it transforms you, right? Paul talks about transformation as a process. It's not just something that happens instantaneously and you just wake up and you're like 30 years old and you have everything figured out. No, there were steps that were taken to get there, and God wants you to feel everything. He wants you to feel every weight of accomplishment, of growth, even failures. But failures are not fatal. You see, we try to avoid these things by attempting perfection. But we're not perfect. Stop trying to be perfect. You're not. Please. There's only one person who is perfect and who is and always will be, okay? We worship Him and He sees us just as God sees Him, and boom, there we go. We only need to be perfect for Him, not for everybody else, because we're all the same here. We're all stuck in mud, and we get out, and we get back in, and we get out, and we get back in, and we clean ourselves up, and we're like, oh, yes, I love you, Jesus, and we fall in the mud again. And then, you know, like, stop. You see, let me give you an example of calling an assignment. You see, Jesus' assignment here on earth, no, His calling was to be our Messiah, to be the Son of God, to be our salvation, to give us our salvation. His assignment was the cross. You see, Jesus, He humbled Himself to God's vision for humanity, and He submitted Himself to that to the point of death. Let not my will be done, but yours. He even says, let this cup pass from me. But then it's, let not my will be done, but yours. Calling and assignment. You got to figure out which one's which. Don't confuse the two. Because if you do, you're going to be wasting a lot of years doing the wrong thing. Because yes, I was doing graphics for a different youth ministry, and I was serving a whole different youth ministry out in Reading, and I easily got the temptation many times to just stay there and serve them and just do a good job just on Photoshop, Adobe, and just be on a laptop and just do creative stuff. But God wanted more. I knew He wanted more. And it pained me to leave that place because it was so warm and it was so like, so fuzzy. And just, all I got was just affirmation from everybody. And then I come here with a 3-year degree in ministry school where a 13-year-old doesn't give a rip about it. He's like, what? What's BSSM? What is ministry school? What? And it's just like, humility, just it humbles you. So If you think you can do something to make your life for that God has for you happen, think again. Is it, if God has there is a calling on every single one of your life. God will take you there. But will you submit yourself to the vision God gives the people around you to follow so that you can learn and train your brain that it's not about you. It's about the bigger picture. Serving God's vision. That's what this is about. That's why we're here. We can never forget that. And I understand there are moments in our lives and seasons where we forget, where we get caught up in ourselves. But we have to remind ourselves, less of me and more of him. This is the opening to get whatever it is God has for us. It's that simple, family. It's so simple. All I wish for all of you who haven't, who aren't, serve. Serve your community, right? It doesn't even have to be in this church. If you have family that go to a different church or you have an organization that you work for, pour your whole heart into it and give thanks and glory to God for the effort that you're putting in and that you're only doing this because God told you to and nobody else. You see, God told me to follow Lisa in her vision for teens. And I adored the vision. I adored these kids. No matter what they did or said in front of me, or no matter how much they, when I'm preaching a message and they're just like, I'm like, Clash Royale, come on, I'm not right now. You can go do it at home. You know, but I love them anyways because I don't do it for them. I do it for him. And before I love anybody, before I love my mom, my dad, my fiance, my little disciples, I love Jesus first more than anything. And this is what gets you through everything. He loved us before we even had the chance to love him back. Before we even were created in this world, he loved us and he had a plan for us and he thought of us. You have to understand, to follow him, you have to love him fully and wholly and like submitted and surrendered. Less of you and more of him. Obedience, sacrifice. It will come at a cost. Don't get me wrong. You're going to have to say no to a lot of things when you follow God's plan because, you know, no used to be the scariest word in my life before, you know, God helped me grow thicker skin. And now I'd like to say, think that it's my favorite word. I love saying no. No, can I do this? No. Can I? No. No. Oh, I love it. It's just, boundaries. Boundaries are awesome. For me, not for some people, but for me. Did you get something today? I want us all to stand up. And I want this to just be a very simple call. Like, I don't know what it was, but I felt it so, like I got wrecked during worship today. And I really felt a call for some of us to receive Jesus in a measure we have never received him before. If you're in this room and you look at yourself from front to back, top to bottom, and you recognize you have a need for Jesus, like nothing you've ever seen before, could you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to move or anything. Awesome. We got a few people. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you encounter these people, that you encounter these hearts, that you fill the gap that sin has filled. I pray right now that you insert and you put in them the revelation that you love them first before they even had the chance to love you. I thank you, Jesus, for your assignment to go on that cross. You didn't complain. You didn't argue. You didn't wrestle, but you saw us on the other side of that cross. broken, defeated, and bruised. And you said yes to the assignment. You said yes to the call in your life to be our Savior because you knew what it would do for humanity. I thank you, Jesus, and I pour out this revelation, this word over each and every person, especially to those who are poor in spirit. If you're poor in spirit, this is for you. Thank you, Jesus, for your assignment to go on the cross, to die a gruesome death, but to defeat death 3 days later, and to be the cornerstone. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do and all that you are, King. Reveal yourself as the loving Savior who willingly died on the cross to redeem us. Here's what I want us to do. If you have been redeemed, if you have seen Jesus come through in your life, on the count of three, can we all just sing hallelujah? For those of you who are poor in spirit, especially for you, on the count of three, I want us all to join in celebration, in hallelujah, that we are saved, redeemed, and we are made brand new by the blood of Jesus. Ready? One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. I just bless every single heart in this room, that you sear this message into every heart in this place, those who are here with us physically and those who are with us online, Jesus. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you reveal to them the true heart of a servant, Lord, that you teach us to be more like Mary. Let us be more like Mary and serve at your feet, King Jesus, because that is where we all belong. We all belong at the feet of Jesus. Lord, thank you. I thank you for everything you've done and all that you are. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Man. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Great things are happening. So if you haven't already, please get plugged in. Awaken Nights, young adults, youth, kids ministry. Guys, it's second service. There's so much to do. If you have empty hands, fill them. All right. Have a good week. Love you all. See ya. Yeah, this Wednesday, Awaken Nights. Don't forget it. Yeah.